The apartment building didn't look much like a plateau. Wayne stood with the others, hands on his hips, staring up at the thing. It was too shiny, with too many windows, like a big bottle of something expensive. Buildings shouldn't look like that. They should look like bricks, and have alleys that smelled of what came out of a fellow after he'd had a bottle of something too expensive. Most of all, he'd expected a plateau.
No, wait. There's a canyon next. That's how the story goes. We gotta find that first.
Comforted, he followed Marisi, Wax, and that Kim woman who tried too hard to be fiddly. The foyer had a doorman and everything. This place was fancy. Maybe Wayne should buy a building like that. A doorman sure would be helpful in carrying him up to his flat after he'd had too many bottles of something expensive. Or, well, more often he had bottles of something cheap as piss. Just because he was secretly rich and posh didn't mean he couldn't appreciate terrible booze anymore. He merely had to call it retro or authentic or something. The doorman sent for the building manager, who turned out to be a man shaped kind of like a brick. So that was a nice nod to proper building protocol. Marisi and Wax explained they needed to investigate the missing man's apartment, while Wayne took a long walk around the foyer with its enormous paintings of people dancing. They wore suits and dresses, their legs stretched really long, their backs all straight, as if they were made of rulers and not flesh. Was this the canyon from the story? Ma had said it was beautiful, but no. This didn't work. No self-respecting canyon would have pictures of dancing folks on the walls. And why did he assume this would be like the story? Well, because he'd thought of it, he supposed. Once you had a thought, you had to keep a hold of it. That was how things was. The building manager listened to Wax and Marisi's explanations, squinted at Kim's credentials, then grunted. He pointed the way to the elevator, and they all squeezed in. Wayne didn't much like elevators. It wasn't just being trapped in a little box, or not knowing how it worked, and needing to rely upon an operator. It wasn't that you could smell everyone a little too much when pressed together, or couldn't see where you were going, which ruined the experience of going up high. Wait, no, it probably was that last one. Elevators were like a carnival ride designed by an overprotective parent who didn't want you getting scared or actually having any fun. He'd had more faith in them when they'd been moved by people, not electricity. Folks were overly trusting of this strange power, what leaked from sockets in the walls. After all, Wayne was a primary investor in the technology, and that should have been a big red flag for everyone. On the 22nd floor, at the end of a long hallway, the building manager used a set of keys to open a door into a large apartment.
He's been gone for 2 weeks. And nobody came looking? No constables? No family?
The manager shook his head, then left them, apparently wanting nothing to do with constables.
Wonder what his problem is.
Don't know. But whatever he has, at least it seems non-communicative.
Wax walked to the center of the room. One wall had narrow floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking the city, with steel girders between. The wall to its right was filled with bookshelves. There was a stylish sitting area to the left, with a smart yellow rug and black furniture. Everything was exceptionally neat, though keeping your place clean was probably easy when you was either dead or vanished.
So they grabbed him or killed him, then left his apartment alone and visibly pristine. Trap?
Trap. Give me a minute to use allomancy to scan about.
Turned out it's really tough to make an explosive trap without some metal, even using modern clay explosives. They found 3 trip wires and 1 pressure plate, each hooked to a doozy of a grenade. The set evidently didn't care about a little collateral damage.
So, whoever you're chasing, they got here before us. Rusts, I didn't know what I was in for.
They were undoubtedly behind Copper's disappearance. Be careful, everyone. There might be a trap we missed. Kim, would you encourage anyone in the neighboring apartments to leave for the next hour?
Kim returned a short time later while Wayne was inspecting the writing desk near the bookshelves. She knelt down beside him, looking up at the bottom as he knocked for secret compartments.
I did as you asked, but why are we bothering to search? Your enemy has been over this place thoroughly.
Sure, I can even prove it. See these little drill holes? You make those to be extra sure there's no secret compartments, but only if you want to leave the furniture in one piece, which is less fun, but sometimes there are good reasons. Like if you want the room to look normal to a bunch of constables when they visit, so they'll be more likely to get themselves exploded.
So what is there to learn?
Well, you see, this is a kind of fight. A back and forth. A dance. They set those traps in case someone dangerous got wind of the set. You don't need to blow up ordinary constables. Just the extraordinary kind.
Like you?
Hell no.
Wayne pointed to Marcy, searching through books, then to Wax, knocking against the far wall and listening for compartments.
You see those two? They represent the best of two worlds. Wax, no. He's instinct. He's lived a lot, been shot at a lot. He didn't have the schooling to be a constable. He spent his school years learning from terrace scholars about old things people wrote a long time ago. But Marcy, she's knowledge. She spent her life studying how to do this sort of nonsense. Sometimes I think she must have read more books on being a constable than have ever actually been written. She talks of crime patterns, preventing chains of poverty, and smart things that make you think maybe being a constable is about math. Put the two of them together, and you've got both. Instinct and knowledge. Practice and application. The enemy, they looked this place over, sure. They had first crack at it. But they left bombs. That whispers that they're worried they missed something. And so, the dance, the fight. Can we find what they didn't?
Curious. And what do you add to the team?
Comic relief.
She cocked an eyebrow.
Maybe a little whimsy, improvisation, vision.
You have a broad imagination then?
There are broads in my imagination almost all the time.
That provoked a smile. Seemed like a nice enough person when she wasn't pretending. Of course, she was probably a traitor of some sort. Shame about that.
Hey, Wax, look at this.
Wax joined him a moment later, inspecting the bottom envelope in a stack from the desk drawer.
What's that?
When you use a fountain pen, you gotta wait for it to dry. But sometimes you're in a hurry, or you're worried, so you put it away and put something on top of it. Like this stack of envelopes. Then the ink makes an imprint on the bottom.
Smudged.
Wax held up the envelope.
But may be legible. This part here, it's underlined. Does that look like a set of numbers to you?
Seven?
Wayne pointed at one. The next were too smudged to read.
Then a dash and a 13.
Maybe a combination. There are big stacks of lockers at the larger train stations that use numbers like this, where you can pay to store things.
Wax nodded slowly.
Marcy, what have you found?
I think these books have all been replaced. He seems like the type who reads a lot, but these are all brand new. I'd guess the set took every book in the place just in case and refilled the bookshelves with red herrings.
This looks like the original furniture, though.
Wax demonstrated moving a chair back so it bumped the wall, right where the paint had been scraped away by repeatedly being hit like that.
It's old, worn, the carpet too. The room appears neat and orderly because the set cleaned it up after they did their search, but it was likely a mess before they arrived.
I think the fellow is dead.
Wayne tapped the wall and broke away some putty.
Bullet hole. Probably shot the poor doof in the back while he was sitting there.
Too specific a conclusion to draw from so little evidence.
Marcy pulled out a little brush and fiddled in the hole, eventually pulling out some flakes of something and putting them in a vial.
Blood?
Yes. And what might be a sliver of bone? They must have cleaned the blood off the desk but removed only the bullet from the hole.
She ran her fingers over the wood.
It's worn down. He used this desk a lot, or bought an old one to begin with. Hard to say.
Wax walked over and handed Wayne a leather cap, like painters wore.
Found it on the bedpost. What do you think? Have we given you enough to work with?
Maybe.
Wayne slipped on the hat. He walked to the center of the room, then stared out a window, putting it all together, trying to imagine the man who had lived here, trying to extrapolate from what they knew of him.
He was respected at first. A good scientist. But then he found things, heard other things, learned more. He was a chemist, right?
For a tire company.
A front, most likely. He said his employers were making a bomb. I'd bet his chemistry work involved investigating weapon systems and explosives for the Bilming government.
Yeah.
Wayne's eyes were closed.
He realized they were looking to make a bomb and heard about splitting harmonium. Andy was maybe already a little eccentric. He tried to save the city, but he was an odd fellow, and nobody listened.
Eyes closed, he spread his arms out and turned slowly, smelling the place and imagining it. Stacked old dishes in the corner, he could still smell them. Frantic nights, reading, thinking.
They just didn't listen. And when they locked him up, he learned he couldn't use the normal justice system to stop the disaster.
So what did he do? You think the people who killed them were scared that they missed something? That implies he knew something they didn't want leaked. Where did he stash it?
He didn't. That's not what this fellow would do. You see, the set, they're going to be wrong about him. Just like Kim is.
How?
The set. They hold on to knowledge. They strangle it, Mercy. But a fella like this, he might be a little unhinged, but he wants people to know what he knows. He ain't gonna lock up his ideas in some train station. He'll share them. If the government won't listen, then...
He opened his eyes and met Wax's.
He'll do whatever he can to get the information out.
Kim, which local broadsheet has the worst reputation? The type that publishes whatever nonsense it can get its hands on, particularly if it's frightening or a little off-kilter.
There are at least seven of those.
Which one syndicates the writings of that fool Jack?
The Sentinel of Truth. I kind of love those.
She seemed embarrassed, but she needn't be. Those were good stories. Super dumb, of course, but sometimes you needed cheap storytelling with your cheap booze. Didn't make no sense to read literature while drinking out of a paper sack.
Sentinel of Truth. Do you know the address of their offices?
I can look it up.
Kim dug out one of her volumes of city addresses. Wayne took off the hat and held it lightly. The poor fellow, Tobel Copper, was dead. He hadn't let the set push him around or force him to work for them. They'd come here to learn what he knew about them and their plans, and they hadn't left him alive. But maybe he told someone. Someone the set hadn't been able to find, because letting go of information to them would be inconceivable.
I've got it. Publishing offices of the Sentinel can be found at...
She looked up.
7th Street, office 42-13. Knights, the same numbers you found on the bottom of the envelope.
Wax squeezed him on the arm.
Nice work, Wayne.
Huh? It's easy enough when you have a lot to work with.
That was a lot?
Sure.
Wayne tucked the hat away.
A man's whole life.